Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Let's see, I think it's the 23rd of June today, the year 2020. We are still in a rambling mode with the general state of things, part five. And I thought I would just start rambling. You know, a lot of people bitch and moan about problems. I'm one of them. I'm a total complainer. I'm really good at seeing problems. I'm really good at articulating them theoretically. But I think it's really important that we also consider how we can get out of the shithole that we're in. I'm speaking purely theoretically, of course. But how? What is it that we can do? And so, you know, I think of things like the Great Refusal, insurrection, resisting, doing things that are right, morally right, even if they cut against the grain. You know, and I think a lot of people don't do that. They don't want to do that. They're afraid. Like, I've noticed a lot of people on social media. There's a group of people, they won't say anything publicly about President Trump. I think they're afraid of him. And I think there's a lot of people who have no idea about how to, you know, make change happen in their own life. And they rely on these really irrational, stupid religious notions. For example, being a Buddhist and walking around implicitly preaching for nonviolence, but doing absolutely nothing about it. Or the hysterical Christian who doesn't like certain things in the world but does nothing about them. So we either go to hysterica or we go to psychosis. And, you know, change takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to change the inertia of a direction. Now, most people actually don't understand what inertia means. So everything is in motion in a Newtonian universe. And inertia just is the force of that movement going in a certain direction. That's where it came from. So if you're, you know, you've got a big ship or a big car, and it takes a lot to change the direction of your life, the direction of a culture. So you can also talk about inert chemical substances, if you know, for those of you who like chemistry. The word inert has also been used in existential phenomenology. People become inert, sedimented, so do cultures. Let's just use the simple Aristotelian Newtonian notion that it really does take some energy to change direction. And what I've found is that most people talk in either this idiotic religious statements, or they're hysterical, or they're psychotic, or they'll talk about baby steps. That's the baby. It's called the baby step phenomenon. And what the baby step phenomenon is, it's an escape clause in being a responsible human being. Yes, well, we need to make these changes little by little, step by step. That is a bunch of rubbish as well. It's total horseshit and nonsense. We have the ability to make significant changes right now. You can make changes in your own life right now if you wanted to. You could become a vegan. You could say, I'm not going to eat or use the products of violence ever again in my life. I'm just not going to do it because I'm a rational person. I understand what these products are, and I'm not going to participate in it anymore. But millions of people continue to eat dairy, meat products. They use exploitative materials in their homes. They use the products of animal violence in their clothing. They go to the circus. They continue right on, and they'll express a peep of an emotion that records an awareness that this is all wrong, but they do nothing. Then there's the other group of people who, I call them the justifiers. And the justifier says, well, I've worked hard for what I've got, and I don't want to do anything to give it up. I don't want to give that up because I deserve it. Just desserts. I've worked hard. It's mine. You can't take it away. I'm not going to give you money or resources or time or energy if it means I have to give up anything that's mine. This is that acquisitive, possessive self. So these are the justifiers who say, well, you know, I'll give you my 10 bucks and the tithing plate, or at the end of the year I'll write my little $15 or $16 check to two or three pet organizations. But see, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real change. If you want to stop being a racist, then fucking stop being a racist. Don't do it anymore. If you want to stop being a sexist, don't do it anymore. If you want to stop being a speciesist, you got to change your behavior. Quit eating meat, quit eating dairy, and stop with the whining and the excuses. These things are easy to do. They are. It is not an argument to say that they're difficult or that you don't understand. That's nonsense because it's false. They're not that hard. You have to make decisions about what you want. If you want to change the world, you got to change yourself. You got to figure out how your station in the world plays into and supports the structure that we're in right now. So can we change our needs? Yes. I don't have the need for meat and dairy in my diet. That is another lie perpetrated by medical doctors. Total lie. And they infiltrated, permeated the public grade school system. And who was happy? The dairy producers and the meat producers and the middlemen. They were very happy. They make a fortune. Well, in doing that, we're destroying our water. We're destroying our clean air. We're destroying forests. Deforestation is extremely much a culprit in global warming and in pollution. Well, let's stop. No, because there are people who make money off of it. And this is the linchpin that keeps coming back over and over again. People will not stop doing something if they're making money at it, even though they know it's wrong, or even though they understand that they're being complicit in a world that's destroying itself. So humans are not rational, most of them. There's a few. People who are operationally or technologically proficient, that doesn't mean they're intelligent, and it doesn't mean that they're great thinkers. It means that they have a skill set that enables them to operate as a cog in a giant wheel. That doesn't mean they have any understanding of what they're doing. There's no wisdom there. So it's homo violentis, the violent human. So can any person or small group of people change structure? Not originally, in my theorizing. You have to change yourself first. You have to change your reality principle, how you interface with the world. You have to change what qualifies as a reason. You have to change the origin of meaning or the foundation of meaning or its source. You have to be willing to give up your comfortable life. And I firmly believe, and as I've written about and spoken about hours on end, change takes sacrifice. It takes effort every day. It's not like you do this on a Sunday for a couple hours. It's not like you do this on a Wednesday. It's that you have to sort things out for yourself and redefine how you're going to participate in the world. Well, most people don't do this, and what ends up happening is they continue to besot themselves with things and money and booze and whatever else they do, and they grow old, and then they die. And the value of those lives is shit and dirt. It's nothing. If you want your life to mean absolutely nothing, if you want to just be a little parasite, then don't change anything. Continue to be a person who supports capitalism, acquisition, and violence. Just keep doing it, and your life will mean nothing. You'll be one of the great unwashed, as Plato would say, the hoi polloi. The hoi polloi, the great unwashed, the people who have not cleansed their mind, the people who are not awake, the people who are stupid, just stupid, stupid, stupid. I'm not ashamed to say the word. Most people say, well, that's not politically correct. You can't talk like that. I can say anything I want. I've got a great vocabulary. I pick out the word that's the most appropriate. You may not like it, but don't you dare tell me that words are not appropriate. They are. So we've got this really alienated, creepy, socioeconomic exchange called capitalism, commodification. Everything is assigned a value in the market. But that is an alienated index. It is not at all the intrinsic or inherent value of a or process or practice. So we have people making whole life decisions based solely on income, based solely on money, based solely on the status of how they rate themselves in the matrix of commodification. And that's silly. There's a lot of dumbasses who make a lot of money, I assure you. And then we have the professional crowd, people who get licenses to professionalize in some area. They gain a status, they make their milk and honey, and they send their kids to nice schools. And these people are inert. Most of them. Not all, but most of them. The ones who aren't are the few who figured things out as they really are. And they don't want to participate anymore. So they use their station to make change. My question is, how are you going to make change? How are you going to refuse what's going on? Or is your life going to be, is the value of your life going to be like cat poop in a dark alley on a sunny day, dark alley where you're in the shadows, it's hot, and it smells. And you have forsaken every important thing that you ever could to go along with the bourgeoisie, and your life does not amount to much. So what does that mean? What does that mean that your life doesn't amount to much? It means that you're fungible. It means that you could have lived or died because you are inconsequential. You mean nothing. Nothing. You're just a parasite who takes from other beings on this planet because you're too afraid and you're too weak to make a better choice, even though you could. So we think about transcendence, think about society's role in transcendence. This involves the structural elements within society and culture that condition the possibilities of subjectivity. Yes, we have these structures. We have democracy. Democracy is based upon what theorists call the objective, right? That's what the bureaucracy thinks you are, or what the government thinks you are. But that doesn't mean that is what you think you are. And that's really it's a big difference, because you can have a governmental program to manage population, and they just pick out various categories, taxonomic categories of individuals, and then you are treated in some way. So again, under these programs, who has been invisible are those people who suffer at the hands of racism, sexism, and speciesism. Governmentalization does violence to individuals. It's structural violence. It harms, it destroys. Competition, capitalism, narcissism, egocentrism. These are patterns, pattern thinking, pattern behavior, that replenish our commitment to the possessive self doctrine that I rant about frequently. This is an ontological status of the beingness of human beings, separate and apart from their historicity. Transformation must involve an ethical revolution. Now, an ethical revolution is also a psychological revolution. So being ethical doesn't just mean following your company's little policies. It doesn't mean just following the law. What it means is destroying your own narcissism and figuring out how to serve the other. Not incidentally and not as a second thought, but originally to serve the other. To always choose the other over yourself. To always choose your work for the other over your own needs and your own petty desires. Because they are petty. Totally petty. We must serve ourselves only insofar as we make ourselves stronger and better equipped to help the other. That is it. I become a warrior for the other. But all of these idiotic bourgeois concepts like retirement, holiday, PTO, and going out and being entertained. This country right now is in the throes of protest because they're used to being entertained. Concerts. Restaurants, events, people feel important to go to an event, like they're a part of something important. It's all a bunch of nonsense. Because again, it's all about feeding the narcissistic self. That's what it's about. I work hard. I get a lot of money from my work. I want to be entertained. I want to spend my money. I want to get a taste of the good life. But in reality, that's not the good life. It's not. It's a complete illusion. Then people commodify their spending on self-entertainment, and it becomes a rating system. Where did you go on vacation? Where did you stay? How did you get there? You know, on and on and on. And most people, they don't want to know this. Most of them don't, but the ones who could, they don't want to know it anyway. So an ethical revolution, the nonviolent revolution, this is the key. This is the solution. This is the solution. It's an inner ethical revolution to be in a new way that is self-justifying, to never, ever react in a negative way to the other. Whenever you react to the other in a negative way, you've let yourself down. You've let down your commitment to the ethical revolution. It means to teach. It means to sacrifice. It means that you embrace the new reality principle that we are fully interrelational. Every being deserves your care and respect and love. Not just your little family pet, but every single being, every other human deserves your respect and your commitment. So there is an ethical revolution, and in this ethical revolution, it's not that we become better at following rules. It's not that we become better at calculating means ends tests in, say, utilitarian forms of ethics. It's not that we discern all of the intrinsic principles of behavior like in Kant. It's something better. It's something sweeter. This is the inner revolution in which we understand that we are not alone in this world, that we are interrelational at our very core. When you die, when you live, when you're born, it's all interrelational. It is interrelational. You are interrelational. Narcissism is interrelational in a degraded way. It's a distortion. It's deeply disrespectful. So the moral revolution is the revolution. I want you to think about that. People are seeking change, transformation, revolution. I just told you the answer. I really did. I just told you the answer. It's an inner revolution. Change is not going to happen through structure. People will often say, well, we need to change structure. Well, who's the we? It shakes back down always to individual choices, self-constituting individual personal choices that we make in the world. That's the revolution. That's the civil revolution. If you want to really live a good life and make change, you have to engage in this inner revolution. Like the idea of somebody eating dairy products right now, eggs, cheese, or any meat, fish from the ocean, meat from animals who are brutalized their whole life from the second they're born until they're murdered. If you're going to eat that, what does that make you? It makes you a mean doofus, a stupid person. It makes you an idiot. And again, I'm not so sure we are Homo sapiens. That might be an ideal. I think we're Homo violentus, the violent human. We will destroy and take whatever we can get our sick 5-year-old hands on. And we'll come up with all kinds of arguments to justify it. That's the great thing about humans. They're really good justifiers about why they can't change something or why they made a certain decision. Really, the whole art of justifying. So how do I engage in this moral transformation? It truly is about getting real. It's about realizing that some of us are stronger, some of us are weaker, but we're all vulnerable. We have an ontological power structure that's unjust. animals have no rights. Women have a few rights. People of color have distorted, abridged rights. Also that a very small group of people can have anything they want. That's really the outcome. And as I keep saying to people, the formula is this. If you are not putting 99.99% of your resources to work for the other, if your money doesn't go towards making yourself strong for the other, to helping the other, that means your money is going to satisfy or sate a compulsion or an addiction, a grasping false sense of entitlement. So if you have five houses, you're taking too much. If you're making a couple hundred grand a year and you're stacking it so that you can be more comfortable, you're being unjust. The money's not going to help anything. So you have all these little pockets, all these little reserve projects of people stacking for their own selfishness. Now, this is not to make ourselves strong to help the other. This is to covet, and to be greedy. People will downright disregard. They'll read something in the paper about starving people, and 2 hours later they'll go out and they'll buy a new car. And they'll try to justify it. Well, unfortunately, I'm a logician. I don't buy it. I'm going to become the most sinister, most feared logician in the world. And I'm coming for you. And everyone around me as well. And Nazarita Goldhammer, co-host of this show, is coming for you. It is no longer cool to be illogical. It is no longer cool to be irrational. We don't buy it. So you want a civil revolution? You want a real revolution? A nonviolent one? Change yourself. That is my conclusion after having spent years thinking about this issue, weighing counter-violence. You have to change yourself. And what that means is you have to become responsible. You have to take risks. You have to sacrifice. You may have to break a law. You may have to break somebody else's edict. You may have to break a principle of bureaucracy. The moral covenant is the highest covenant. To ever not help another being who's in need, to try to justify that makes you stupid or psychotic. So part of the moral revolution is to get real. That's step one. Let's get into the reality. Let's get firmly in the reality that probably most of the people in this country are eating the products of violence. That's real. It isn't made up, it's not fanciful, and it's not hyperbole. That's the real. Let's look at the real. I've figured out, after many years as a therapist, that to heal and to be well, you have to get your shit together about the reality of the world and of your life. You have to confront yourself. You don't have to hurt yourself, and you don't have to shame yourself, but you've got to get real with yourself. But right now, we're not real. we have a president who is a psychotic infant. We have a leader of the free world, so-called free world, who is maybe a five-year-old emotionally. He is a megalomaniac. He is extremely ill. He's selfish. He does not have anybody's needs or interests at heart ever, except his own. But we picked him. This is the country who picked him. We all did it. So if you want to change the world, change yourself. Figure out what's really important. What is the most real? What do we want to be when humans have eradicated themselves on this planet and taken most every other living creature with them? When we have eradicated our civilization, when we've completely poisoned it, ruined it, then what? Then what do we say? We say, well, those human beings circa 20th, 21st, and 22nd century, they ruined things, didn't they? That's what we're doing. So in terms of trying to figure out who you should read, how you should find truth, you can. There's an old Indian expression. It's we still use it in Montana. Don't take any wooden nickels. It means don't accept the coin of the realm if it's false, if it's fraudulent. So we have a coin of the realm right now that is false and fraudulent, trading lie for lie, falsity for falsity. Why do people do it? Because it pays good. You can get most humans to agree to say and to believe things that are absolutely false if you pay them enough money. This is really true. You can get a human being to do almost anything if you pay them enough money. I find that odd. I think there was some show on about that. People would do these crazy things, like really gross things for money. But it just showed you how far people were willing to go. So all these reasons about peer pressure, what the word appropriate, I'm tired of people using the word appropriate or inappropriate. You know, I'm tired of it. Because that's the great word of the manipulator. Usually to do something that's inappropriate means to resist in a positive way. Not always, but it can. So moral transformation means, number one, to re-examine your idea of the good. What is the good? Number two, it means to re-examine your method for achieving the good. Now, let's throw another, I think, really important concept. This is the fear of loss of self. I had to really think this one through as well. And you can too. Egocentrism, narcissism, these are, in part, and maybe at their very core, fear structures, fear of the loss of self. I'm going to lose myself if I don't work really hard, bolster myself, build myself up, fortify my ego strength, collect things, own things, buy things, take things, build these environments that make me who I think I am. And so if somebody takes all that away from me, I ought to feel crazy. So people will fight to the death to keep their stuff. And what's more, what's deeper, they'll fight to the death to keep their sense of identity. Even though that sense of identity is worthless. Non-participatory. There are many people in this country who have zero value, zero or minus value. If we started rating people what their value is, their rating would be in the negative because they don't do anything for anybody else, number one. And number two, whatever it is they do, they end up hurting others. Why would I want to be in a culture with a person like that? I don't. I want to be in a culture and a civilization with people who contribute to the betterment of the other at self-sacrifice. Not, I'll give of myself until it becomes a little inconvenient. I'll give of myself until it becomes a little uncomfortable. And that's how people think of it. I'll give of myself until it's just puts me a little bit out of my convenience for the day. A lot of people think like that. That's the whole notion of the Christian tithing. And a lot of people feel good about themselves because of it. To give it, bought it. It's bought. Apparently, we've had some technical difficulties, and I was actually disconnected from the show's producer, but I'm back. So I'm going to leave you all with a general problem. It's about the idea of gift giving. If I give a gift just to say that I gave a gift, but the gift is worth nothing in general and worth nothing to me, is it really a gift? And the question more is that does a gift have to be something important to me before I can call it a gift? Aren't those the best gifts when we give something that's so precious? Time that we don't have, money that we don't have, important items, and things and processes that can facilitate another person's path. So that's the question I leave you all with. What is the nature of a gift? What is the nature of a gift? So I want to thank everybody for being with us today. We'll be right back to you next week. Have a good day. This is Epis Radio signing out.